It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You'll have to forgive me this evening. I may be a little bit jangled. I don't know. I may have accidentally consumed some caffeine or that, or my mind is rebelling against the lurid, skeevy, gross details of the young college life of one Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah, that lurch noise. I've been making it all day long. You know, it is the 20th day of September 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live, and that, of course, is where you go if you'd like to click on chat room and pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump in and join the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Yeah, I think it's the caffeine. That or the neuro-linguistic programming is just making my brain itch. I don't know. But if you do pick out a screen name and a password, you'll be welcomed in the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza by the likes of Anatole and Otto DeChat and VT Blom. More to follow. You'll be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave on what appears to be a lovely Northern California day. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I really am a little jangled. Sorry. I'll do my best. I remember way back years and years and years ago when this program was very young and Agnes didn't realize that Barks Root Beer, I'm still drinking sugary soda back then, didn't realize that Barks Root Beer was the only root beer that had caffeine in it, and I didn't know at the time either, and I guzzled one, and then I looked at the label and went, oh, hell. Yeah. But the, I did. I got into a little bit of caffeine today. I mean, I'm not like, I don't feel like I'm going to fly to the moon or anything, and my heart's not going, and, you know, it's not making that Paul McCartney feeling thing from Uncle Albert Admiral Halsey, you know, no, it's not doing that. But the wonderful lady who runs the little Thai place, not too far from where I live, makes a beautiful Thai tea. And it's kind of like a chai with that's got sweetened condensed milk mixed into it. And she serves it over ice and on a hot day. And today has been a hot day, maybe one of the last, I don't know. But it is wonderful and flavorful and whoo-wee refreshing. And without even thinking about it, I drank, so I'm a little eh. But two, also, you know, Kavanaugh. One phrase as we begin the evening and the filibobster. And I'm sorry, it is what it is. He was associated with a group at Yale whose unofficial motto was, no means yes, yes means anal. No means yes, yes means anal. It's been that kind of day. I'm sorry, but it has. But before we jump into everything, there are thanks to extend. Thanks very kindly. Go out to our subscribers. Thank you to Vincent, and thank you to Dr. John. Thank you also to Bernice. Thank you very much indeed to Carl over Ohio way. Those are our subscribers for this 20th day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber, well, a reminder, it works out to, something like less than 16 cents an hour for the program for a $10 a month subscriber. Helps to keep the program on the air. Doesn't contribute to any lavish lifestyles. We joke about Gulfstream 5s, but we also joke about Olympic-sized kidney-shaped swimming pools, but there aren't any of those either. No, it's just a humble little radio program that needs your support. It needs your support because our fundraising goal right now, and it's been another tough week, our fundraising goal right now is $615. That means that 3 out of the 4 days this week, we have not made our fundraising goal. So the fundraising goal is 615, and it really, really needs to come down so we can finish fundraising for the month of September and have that week of fundraising free radio that the subscribers make possible as long as we meet the other three quarters of the okay. We have a word for what I got into today. Thank you very kindly, Sparky. Chatamin Sanum. Chatamin Sanum. Thai iced tea with milk. Sparky says, I enjoyed many of them in Thailand. Well, if you ever get over here, we'll have to find out if this stuff compares. Well, I'm sorry, Brother Deacon Asa. Apparently, I've already started doing damage for eating. Whoa, 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 says Brother Deacon Asa. You can't just throw that type of shit out there without handing out some brain bleach beforehand, Kincaid. God damn it! In reference to no means yes, and yes means anal. Now, when you, I'm not making that up. That's not a joke. Not by any stretch of the imagination is that a joke. Yeah, I kind of wish it was. These are real things having to do with the young life of privileged Brett Kavanaugh as he went off to college from his days at Georgetown Prep, where I believe, based upon what I've read, he got stinking, fallen down, Spalding from Caddyshack drunk one night, dragged a young girl into a bedroom upstairs at a house party, pawed her, put his hand over her mouth when she tried to scream, tried to get her clothes off, felt her up over whatever clothing she had on, and apparently also a swimsuit. And now denies that it ever happened. But it's getting harder and harder to believe him. Because, his partner in crime was a guy who went on, and he's a nasty guy, Mark Judge. He's made a career out of writing scummy right-wing opinion pieces and writing pieces about the power of male passion. But young Brett went off to college where he pledged the Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity, Deke. And fraternities are notorious for doing some really nasty, shitty things. Among other things, he was a sophomore when this one particular incident transpired. But he his fraternity had a pledge event in which their flag was comprised of various and sundry articles of women's underwear. Once upon a time, and perhaps to this day, there were things that used to take place on college campuses perpetrated by fraternities called panty raids, in which young men were expected to go and steal young women's underthings. Well, there's a photo, and it would have been the year. It was while Kavanaugh was at Yale. It was his fraternity, but it would have been the not his pledge year, but his sophomore year. So he already would have been a full inductee when the Deacs had a photo in the newspaper of their standard, if you will, comprised of various and sundry bras and panties. This, of course, is the sort of salacious behavior that has gone on college campuses all over this country. It is certainly not exclusive to Yale. One can presume that young Brett was probably hazed in joining his particular fraternity. But beyond that fraternity itself, there was also an ad hoc group that operated under the rubric of truth and courage at Yale. And the truth and courage group, the joke went around campus, T and C, truth and courage, but most people referred to it as tits and clits. These are the associations of a young man who now wishes to be held up as a paragon of adult male virtue. And that is where we find ourselves. Or that's where Brett Kavanaugh finds himself. Now, if you go over into the sleazy, swampy, creepy, crawly corners of the White Wing Internet, you'll find them saying, "Well, I don't know why it is we gotta have another FBI investigation. He done been investigated 6 times. Brett Kavanaugh, that poor good man. Done been investigated 6 times, and they ain't founded no panty raids, and they ain't finding him trying to get all rapey on a girl that was 2 years younger than him when he was in high school at 17. They ain't finding it. Why we gotta go looking for it now? If they didn't find it then, they ain't gonna find it." And of course, any effort to explain to a White Wing Kavanaugh supporter that the FBI often does not find things that it is not looking for which it has no evidence, is largely lost upon them. Yeah. There's no shame in them. There's no urge toward decency. There are clips, for instance, of Senator Orrin Hatch, who now says of Dr. Ford, "I think the little lady is confused." We certainly can't involve them. We don't have the power to involve the FBI in this. And yet there's a clip of him from 1991 in which he lauds the Senate Judiciary Committee upon which he sat as a member then for referring for investigation the allegations of Anita Hill to the FBI. The way that process worked is the Judiciary Committee asked the president to ask the FBI to investigate. The president asked the FBI to investigate. The FBI investigated. But Senator Orrin Hatch apparently forgets that, I don't know, maybe he's living back in those Halcon days of the early settlement of Utah, when sister wives knew to keep their mouths shut and just let the and let the men folk have their way with them as God intended, and there weren't any cameras to record anything, so that none of the men folk would ever have to deal with the hypocrisy of their actions. I think Orin may be that old. But, the video really, really does exist, and it has been played extensively today. Let's see, what's that, Marty? Marty says, you needn't to have pledged a fraternity to have panty raids. I merely lived in the dormitories, co-ed, of course, and there were panty raids. Okay. I think it was kind of associated with so-called Greek life. Keith with a note. Bob, are you sure you're not in East Texas? I hear that voice and type of comments all the time around here. I'm sorry, Keith. That's just another one of the... They live in my head, and they won't go away, and they won't leave me alone. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of day it's been. I mean, it's not a bad day. It's been a beautiful day. But it's a little bit like what Flavio was talking about last night when he said that it can be so difficult to get away from it all. Meanwhile, you know, there was a slaughter in Aberdeen, Maryland today. And hey, it's a different one this time because a woman did the shooting. She had her Freedom Protector with her. And she got upset at work there at a Rite Aid warehouse and took it out and defended freedom all over the place. And she was a lawful gun owner and decided to prove it to some people by ending the universe for them. What's that? Okay, Darlene with a correction from the ad hoc corrections department here of the Horn. I don't mean corrections like, you know, jail or anything. Editorial corrections. Sorry, Bob. Hatch didn't say confused. He said Ford is mixed up, which implies she is not only confused, but crazy, too. Well, I appreciate the clarification. But the whole thing just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. Or, as Agnes made clear as we were discussing the issue earlier today, typicaler and typicaler and typicaler and typicaler. Because apparently this is typical behavior. And we go from involving the weird, hung-up, religious bizarreness of that sort of incestuous little community in suburban Maryland to the weird, semi-incestuous little community in New Haven, Connecticut. This note just came in from Scott. Kavanaugh, a longish rant, but worth sharing. Now, way to goddamn the GOP giving justice the bum's rush minute, Bob. If what Kavanaugh's accused of doing was nothing more than a one-off example of youthful hijinks, why won't the GOP Senate Judiciary Committee allow additional information to be examined? I think I have the answer. In journalism, there's a long-held rule of thumb when it comes to reporting, get it fast, but get it right. This approach also seems applicable in terms of the speed with which the GOP is attempting to ram through the confirmation of Kavanaugh. If he's as wholesome and qualified as his supporters claim, there's no harm whatsoever in his being absolutely vetted beyond question before installing him into a lifetime seat on the Supreme Court. At this quaint notion, I can almost hear Trump and the GOP saying, "But we must move quickly so he'll be on the court for the start of the new session on October 1st. Frankly, that's a bullshit argument. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires a full complement of all nine justices seated on the first Monday in October. It's just nonsense. Hell, there's nothing in the Constitution about there being nine justices, for that matter. Think back a bit," Scott continues. "The GOP had no issue whatsoever that Scalia's seat remained empty from February 13th, 2016 until Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch joined the court on April 8, 2017. And let's not forget that Obama nominated Garland on March 16, 2016. The GOP Senate refused to meet with him, much less engage in confirmation hearings. Here's an idea. All of us need to call or email all the GOP senators on the Senate Judiciary Committee and let them know we oppose their unnecessary and completely unwarranted rush to seat Kavanaugh. They must not get away with this scheme, and you need to make it crystal clear to them that you know exactly what they're up to now. If you go to judiciary, J-U-D-I-C-I-A-R-Y, if you go to judiciary.senate.gov/about/members, the names of all the usual GOP suspects are there, including darling Lindsey Graham and cranky old Orrin Hatch and booger-eating Ted Cruz and meal-stealing Chuck Grassley. They're all there, all those white old men who just don't believe that business about that fine young feller, Brett Kavanaugh. No, they don't believe it. No, sirree, Bob. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but at the same time, I'm not, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa says, you know, I somehow avoided hearing that business about no means yes and yes means anal. I managed to avoid hearing that, and I was listening to the radio all day. Well, that's what you tune in for, and that's what I try to bring to the program here, is the stuff that you haven't heard all day. I don't like to talk about what people have talked about all day. Or at least, if we're going to talk about things that people have talked about all day, I want to talk about the things that they didn't get around to talking about. Caffeine really works. Whoa. But you get the idea. But, you know, Scott makes a good point. I've heard a lot today about how there's a timeline and there's a time frame for completing these hearings. And that, of course, is a gigantic, whopping, let's see, complicated legal, political lie. There's no timeline. Timelines became as out of fashion as high button greaves with the whole Merrick Garland fiasco. And I will simply reiterate here as we move our way through the filibobster that I'm also, and it seems to be getting lost in the shuffle, that's why I'm reiterating, I'm also the opinion that a president who has been directly implicated in no less than four federal felonies probably shouldn't be appointing anybody to anything until such time as his name is cleared, which would roughly be about the same time as avocados start growing on fucking Pluto, okay? For all intents and purposes, Donald Trump's presidency needs to end, oh, as of the day Michael Cohen opened his mouth in open court under oath and implicated his former boss in, you know, four federal felonies. And by the way, I know I've been less than sanguine about the idea that there's going to be a blue wave, but I don't want anybody to get the misconception that I don't want there to be a blue wave. I desperately want there to be a blue wave. I want it to be a complete blue wave. I want it to be a blue wave that wipes out the Republicans in the House and washes them away in the Senate, too. Because, and you know, for reasons that we could probably spend the rest of the program talking about, because the list is that long, and the straits we are in that desperate. The moral and economic and existential threats to this nation that the Republicans have brought in just the short time that Julius Geezer has occupied the presidency could take that long, the rest of the program, to simply catalog. But my reason is much shorter, much more brief, and much more to the point. Today, contacted by the Washington Post, darling senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, who has apparently given up wearing his widow's weeds after the funeral of John McCain. He told the Washington Post that the way the Democrats have handled the Kavanaugh nomination and the Kavanaugh confirmation process, the way that they have particularly handled these allegations against Brett Kavanaugh by Dr. Ford, well, he called them a drive-by shooting. Now, countless American families have been shattered by drive-by shootings over the years. They are a painful reminder of our gun culture, and Lindsey Graham in this particular, of the bloodiness of our gun culture, and Lindsey Graham on this particular day, chose this particular day, when, not that far away from where he was speaking, a woman had, a lawful gun owner, had opened up on her co-workers and slaughtered some of them and sent others to the hospital before she shot herself in the head. Police responded vigorously, but they didn't stop the shooter. The shooter stopped herself. And so amidst the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth, precious Lindsey, safe underneath the fainting couch in his office in the Senate Russell office building, likened a search for truth about whether or not a man once tried to rape a woman to a drive-by shooting. Let that sink in. That is the level of perfidy. That is the level of obscenity at which the Republican majority happily lives. And so it is that, like I said, I yearn for a blue wave that will provide majorities in both the House and the Senate. And I do so for selfish reasons. I do so in the hope, not the knowledge, but at least the hope, that if that happens, and these godforsaken Republicans are rendered a minority again, somebody can look at darling Lindsey and tell him to sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. We all need motivation, and that's mine. I want to see that soulless asshat rendered politically impotent. He has and never has had any business near anything resembling power. And what he has needs to be taken from him. He said of this process, oh, they've had tons of time to do this. This has been a drive-by shooting when it comes to Kavanaugh. I'll listen to the lady, but we're going to bring this to a close. I'll listen to the lady. I think we can take the word little in front of lady, as they say in the theater business, as read. Senator Rob Portman's pouring out the crocodile tears, too. He of Ohio. Obviously, the process was very unfair. I'm not blaming Ford. I'm blaming the Democrats who misused this process. We were going to get away with it. We were. It was a slam dunk. We were going to have some hearings. We were going to hide 93% of the documents that he's ever had anything to do with. We weren't going to let anybody dig into the fact that he trafficked in stolen property. We were going to completely ignore the four times he committed fucking perjury in his own hearing. And we were going to ram him down the throats of the American people, just like he wanted to ram something down the throat of Dr. Ford back when she was 15, and there wasn't nothing the American people could do about it. And now the Democrats, them damn goddamn Democrats, has done everything. It ain't fun. Senator Dianne Feinstein, who of course is way insufficiently ideologically pure. Senator Dianne Feinstein said that we should honor Dr. Blasey Ford's wishes and delay this hearing. A proper investigation must be completed, witnesses interviewed, evidence reviewed, and all sides spoken to. Only then should the chairman set a hearing date. Well, I guess maybe I'll get emails or tweets or something calling me a neoliberal establishment shill. But I agree with Dianne Feinstein. There's no hurry here. There's no urgency whatsoever except that urgency which exists in the fetid cesspools that pass for the minds of the Republican Party. And, you know, I'd think that if I was Brett Kavanaugh and I wanted to maintain my absolute it didn't happen, there's nothing even vaguely similar. Dr. Blasey Ford, Not to in any way cast aspersions on anyone else, but, you know, she's not some little Santa's little helper getting groped at the mall. This is a woman who holds a terminal degree in her chosen field, who has been entrusted to work in research at some pretty impressive institutions of higher learning. And I can only guess, but I think I can guess with some accuracy, that she knows that lying to the FBI is, and, you know, unlike apparently a whole lot of members of the Trump regime, a felony. So she... wants there to be an FBI investigation. She's willing to sit down with the FBI and talk to them for as long as they want to talk. Answer any question that they've got. And yet the guy who categorically denies the event ever having occurred in this or any other of the infinite number of universes, he doesn't want that anymore. And his sponsors and advocates don't want that. D- that has to be at least a little bit of a head scratcher. Darlene in Connecticut says, yeah, Lindsey Graham Cracker picked up that descriptive phrase of drive-by shooting from none other than Tom Brokaw, who said the exact same thing when former female colleagues came forward and outed him on his sexual harassment and assaults. No one called Brokaw out on that statement, and the Me Too furor died down about him for some reason, and Brokaw's back making cameos on various news programs. P.S. My distinct impression is that Brokaw was a hound dog back in the day. I believe the women. Drive-by shooting. Right. Stating the obvious, Steve in New York says the Supreme Court term doesn't even start until October 1 anyway, because October 1 is the first Monday in October. Meanwhile, Kevin out in Colorado Springs says, I bet you won't hear one single Democrat bring up any of the points that Scott or you have been making. I'd love to hear the Democrats speak out with even a tenth of the passion and thoughtfulness that Scott or you have brought up so far. Alas, cricket sounds from the Democrats, for the most part, are the sounds we hear. Have there been any outright, and I'm tasking the ad hoc horn research department with this, because every time I've thought about doing it, something else has cropped up, and I have not gone and done it. In particular, there are two people, two members of the United States Senate, well, three, actually, that come immediately to mind. Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, and Mazie Hirono. Have any of them outright called, just based on this allegation alone, have any of them called for Brett Kavanaugh to withdraw his nomination and go away and not bother us anymore? Because if they haven't, they really should. Steve in New York says, two words, Al Franken. Al is probably sitting at home in Minnesota, gnawing at the corners of the coffee table. I saw some pitiable fool writing at one of the for-profit outlets saying, you know, this proves that they were right to run Al out of the Senate. Well, lo and behold, today I was watching MSNBC and that former and probably still loyal Bushy, Nicole Wallace, who, talking to her little round table, said, this seems to be a seminal moment for the Me Too movement in which our desire to believe the women runs headlong against our cherished concept of due process. Sparky tells me two of them had a press conference today. I'll try to find it. I hope they've all called for him to withdraw his nomination. Otherwise, they look like a bunch of, well, what's the word I'm looking at? Hypocrites. Let's see. Thank you, Lee, a member of the Ad Hoc Research Department in New York. Says, here's what Mazie Hirono had to say. I'm waiting for it to open. This tablet is very old and very slow. Working. Well, the thrust of that article being having run Al out of the Senate, that the Democrats had the high ground now with this Kavanaugh thing. Of course, the high ground will prove to be as useless as a kickstand on a tank if the Republicans do as I expect and ram Kavanaugh through. And understand, no Republicans are going to turn on Kavanaugh. Not Lisa Murkowski. Not Susan Collins. Susan Collins is disgusted with the way that Brett Kavanaugh has been treated. although Susan Collins did say that Al Franken should stand not upon the order of his going from the Senate, but go at once. Okay, give me a second here. I think this... thanks, Sparky. I got that link now. Appreciate it. But let's go over to... let me see if I can get this, the clip on this so we can all hear it together. Sorry for the delay and the dead air. We'll get there. Oh, for pity's sakes. Just a second. Okay, I think I'm going to be able to open it now. By the way, Darlene informs us, Maisie said for the men on the committee to shut up and step up. She also refused to meet with Kavanaugh. She's come the closest, but I have no idea if she's called for him to withdraw outright. I'd be surprised if she didn't. One hopes that she will. Let's see.
Let me just add one thing here. I think we all know when something is unfair, when something smells. And we all know this. Let's face it, this is so patently unfair to her. And what really bothers me and gets me so angry is that the White House is victimizing this person. Why don't we get that out there? That why should we participate in a victimization of someone who has the courage to come forward? And she is under absolutely no obligation to participate in a smearing of her and her family. And that is why I am very clear about what needs to happen. But at the same time, you know, if the Republicans go forward with their plan to railroad this and to fast-track this as they have so many other nominations, I expect the members of the press to talk about how unfair this all is. I don't think that's editorializing. That's laying out some facts.
She's right. She's right. But expecting the pampered panjandrums of the elite Washington press corps to do anything like that, that's a thin reed.
Expect that from you guys.
Yes. How does that impact the proceedings, if at all?
Of course it helps that there are women on that committee, but you know what? I expect the men in this country and the men in this committee, and many of them, believe me, because we all signed on to this letter to demand an FBI investigation. But really, guess who's perpetuating all of these kinds of actions? It's the men in this country. And I just want to say to the men in this country, just shut up and step up.
Potent medicine. What is lacking there, however, is a demand that Brett Kavanaugh withdraw his nomination. That the mere allegation is enough to taint the entire process. Lee in New York noting, Republicans believe that Al Franken invited a photographer to watch him grope a woman and record it. He turned to the camera and made sure we knew that he was aware of the photographer. All criminals want the accompanying photographer to get their good side at the crime scene. All caps. And the press reports this as real? Well, they do. They do. Now back to Kirsten Gillibrand via the link that, that Sparky has kindly provided. Kirsten Gillibrand tells women to watch GOP handling of Kavanaugh accuser. They know they're going to come across icky, but some of them don't care. There are two senators on the Republican side of the committee there who aren't going to be back in January. One of them's Jeff Flake, and he's off somewhere gluing more rubber tips on his arrows. And Orrin Hatch is not going to be back either. And so he doesn't have to worry about alienating a voter base in Utah that would have continued electing him until he was 10 or 20 years in the grave. Don't look, I mean, they're, yeah, the Republicans feel kind of icky about this, but not icky enough to make them stop being Republicans.
I do hope every woman in America is paying very close attention to this body, Ms. Gillibrand said at an anti-Kavanaugh rally inside the Senate office building, where she and Senator Hirono accepted a letter of support from Ms. Blasey Ford, signed by hundreds of former students from Holton Arms, the posh private girls' high school that Dr. Blasey, not Ms. Blasey, Dr. Blasey Ford attended. That's the Washington Times reporting, so I guess that's why the Ms. instead of the doctor. Those who signed the letter said they support her story. Nothing in there about any sort of necessity that Kavanaugh withdraw his nomination over a mere allegation. It's just not there. Oh, well. Okay, I won't say anything more about it. Silent R. Lamar says, slow tablet. Hearing you complain about how slow the tablet's going, try my computer. When I turn it on, it tells me, hey, can't you see I'm working here? And if you touch that keyboard, so help me, I will give you such a blue screen. Oh, that would be harrowing. You've got me beat, Silent R. Lamar. You've definitely got me beat. So anyway, to go back to the other... Well, what made the made this all so much more icky? Along the way, as I was reading all this business about Kavanaugh belonging to an organization, and really, I would kind of like to see Kavanaugh cross-examined on this topic. You were a member of an organization, Judge, who espoused a motto that said no means yes and yes means anal. Would you care to expand on the meaning of that, Judge? Wonder how many rape cases Brett Kavanaugh's been involved in adjudicating since he got onto the D.C. Circuit. What does that mean, Judge? Would you explain the tradition of flying a flag, of you and your fraternity flying a flag made of women's underwear? Could you do that for us? It was... the Yale Daily News that ran that picture. Class of 87 graduates' activities at the university where he joined the Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity. In a photo from 1985, Kavanaugh's fraternity brothers, not Kavanaugh himself, are seen waving a flag of women's underwear, which the Daily News reports was part of a procession of the fraternity's initiates. At the time the photo was taken, Kavanaugh was a sophomore and already inducted. It's unclear whether the underwear is obtained consensually or not. Yeah, you can just see the future leaders of America there, those members of the Deke fraternity. Funny how close that is, vowel wise, to Dick. You can just see them walking up to their gal pals and saying,
Pardon me, would you mind if I borrowed a pair of your maiden forms? Yes, it's a fraternity hazing ritual, and I'm hoping if I just show up with your panties that perhaps they won't make me march through the quadrangle with them on my head. Yeah, would you mind? But there are demerits if they're cotton. Mm-hmm. I guess this is the kind of shit you do if you can't get into Skull and Bones. I don't know. During the fraternity's pledge week, the frat's upperclassmen would send the new recruits out for fun to talk to Yale women on their behalf. Occasionally, he said, Deke brothers would send new recruits on scavenger hunts to find specific objects on campus. Pledges might ask for help from women they knew, or maybe the guy who sent them knew to complete an item on the list. I'm almost certain that's where any women's undergarments would have come from. Women people knew, donating them willingly to play along. But in a comment on a post in the Yale Women Facebook page, Jennifer Liu, class of 87, a classmate of Kavanaugh's, recalled that Deke brothers would ransack women's rooms while they were in class to collect undergarments. Another alumnus, Julie Klein, 87, described Deke as an animal house. In addition to Deke, see, this was published. I don't just say things. In addition to Deke, Kavanaugh also belonged to Truth and Courage, one of Yale's secret societies for seniors. Because he couldn't get into Skull and Bones. Among some students, the all-male club, which was popular with athletes, was known by the nickname Tit and Clit. Truth and Courage fizzled out of existence in the early 2010s, but since Kavanaugh's graduation in 1987, Deke's reputation for mistreating women at Yale has only grown. Yale banned Deke from campus for 5 years in 2011 after videos circulated of fraternity recruits chanting, "No means yes, yes means anal," in front of the university's Women's Center. Wowzer. And this spring, the university launched an investigation into the fraternity's sexual climate after reports in the Yale Daily News and Business Insider documented sexual assault allegations against more than half a dozen members, including the fraternity's former president. Mm-hmm. So the yes means no, no means anal, or no means yes, yes means anal, that comes after his time there. But if there's one thing you can say about if there's one thing you can say about fraternities is that they are bastions of tradition. And they chant things. And they chant things year after year after year. And they've got songs and that sort of thing. But we're not anywhere near We're not anywhere near the fullness of all of this business coming out of Yale. James in Illinois. Skull and Bones does worse, but they're presidential material. Yeah. Right. Lee in New York, subject line, lying to the FBI. Even I know that lying to any type of law enforcement is usually a bad thing. Also, speaking publicly is enough to cause a dramatic effect on your home life. The key action for me is Chuck Grassley having a letter from 65 women ready for display that Brett Kavanaugh is a great guy. I really want to know how many letters about the wonderful Kavanaugh are prepared. Most people do not choose to act when the effect is negative, and almost no positive result could come from their action. Would you choose to lie in public, ruin your reputation, begin receiving death threats that force you to go into hiding just to lie to Congress and potentially the FBI and spend money to have an attorney represent you? Well, in a word, no. But Republicans live in a universe where that kind of thing just happens all the time. Darlene in Connecticut. Oh, come on, Bob. It's just boys being boys. It's just locker room talk. Why am I thinking of Emmett Till right now? Boys being... Sometimes it's boys not being boys. Sometimes it's girls making stuff up about boys, which is what happened in Emmett Till's case. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, have you considered... If Brett's pal had gone into the legal profession and risen to the status of judge, would he be the judge? Think about it. Brett is younger than you are, and you'll be hooting like a barn owl for many years to come. I will have mercifully gone to my long home. Judge? Yes? Yeah, but apparently he couldn't... Well, I just want him to testify is all. Yeah, it sounds to me like, why is it, since this guy is implicated, that what is it about him that makes the Republicans so eager to not give him a subpoena? I mean, he said publicly that it never happened. Then, of course, he said he has no memory of it. Wait a minute, I understand. You really don't want him getting cross-examined on how many times he got blackout drunk in high school and how many times he got blackout drunk, with Brett Kavanaugh. Because then the thing really, really does fall into a million tiny pieces. Wait a minute. I think we've got a cowbell for Lee. The much-coveted cowbell goes to Lee for no means confirm. That's exactly what I'm talking about, Steve, in New York. Isn't this just precious? Kavanaugh joined notorious campus frat that was later banned for no means yes chant. Yale newspaper. So back to life at Yale. And this is where the story takes a weird turn. Really? A weird turn, Bob? Now? Now it's weird? You may recall some years back, because we talked about her, a law professor at Yale, who had previously been a law professor at Duke, who, as far as I can tell from reading her CV or elements of her CV, has never tried so much as a burgled biscuit case. A woman by the name of Amy Chua wrote a book called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mom, all about her travails trying to raise a pair of elitist little snobs and how they rebelled against her when she continued to push them relentlessly along a path that reviewers identified as essentially Confucian. Well, lo and behold, she knows, and maybe, because she's an elite Yale professor, she knows Brett Kavanaugh. And it turns out that that some people who have talked to some publications, in particular The Guardian, began discussing the issue of what has been bruited and ballyhooed as Brett's dedication to diversity on his clerk staff. Okay. Over the years, Kavanaugh has hired 48 clerks. 25 of them have been women. Cool. That's a liberal, progressive, aspirational thing. That's just one more than
half of his clerk appointments have been female. Good. Yay. Yes. Wait. It turns out that Amy Chua, the Tiger Mom, was known to have a reputation for grooming female law students who hoped to clerk for Brett Kavanaugh. Her husband was said to have remarked that Jeb Rubenfeld, Amy Chua's husband, said that Kavanaugh hires, this is a quote, hires women with a certain look. And those women with a certain look would go to Amy Chua for mentoring and providing advice to students about their physical appearance if they wanted to work for Brett Kavanaugh. According to The Guardian, last year, Amy Chua told a group of law students, and this again is a quote, "It's not an accident that Kavanaugh's female law clerks all looked like models." So away I went. I used the miracle of the internets, the interweb tubes. It's not a big truck. And I started looking for pictures of Brett Kavanaugh and his clerks. And lo and behold, there's not a dowdy one among the bunch. They are all subjectively pretty. Every photo I found of him walking with his clerks, including the one that made the white power sign, all had long, lustrous hair. He apparently prefers brunettes. And they were all wearing attire that involved skirts that were at least a couple of inches above the knee. Now, I think if you're a listener to this program, you know that I believe a woman has a right to dress any damned way she wants. And that how was she dressed is not not at any point in time a valid consideration for determining whether a woman is adequate to the task at hand. So, in line with that, I ask, why do they all look that way? Oh, and by the way, when word of this came out, Amy Chua got real indignant. And she said, "I never said any such thing." For the more than 10 years I've known him, Judge Kavanaugh's first and only litmus test in hiring has been excellence. He hires only the most qualified clerks, and they've been diverse as well as exceptionally talented and capable, and they look good in skirts that hang 2 inches above their knees. No, I added that last part. There's good reason so many of them have gone on to Supreme Court clerkships. He only hires those who are extraordinarily qualified, as I wrote in the Wall Street Journal. He has also been an exceptional mentor to his female clerks and a champion of their careers. Among my proudest moments as a parent was the day I learned our daughter would join those ranks. So away I went to find a picture of Amy Chua and her and the Tiger Mom's Tiger Daughters. To say that her daughters are exquisitely beautiful would be an understatement. They have grown up in as privileged an atmosphere as may be humanly imagined. Their mom and their dad are, as Daffy Duck would say, comfortably well off. And, of course, there's that book from 2011 where Amy Chua talks about how she relentlessly cracked the whip over their heads and maybe occasionally on their fannies to get them there. And so Mommy and Daddy's little lumpkin somehow or another managed... Well, no, there's no somehow or another to it. She drove them relentlessly so that they would, in fact, have the grades to get into and through, in the case of the one, Yale Law School. And then, after all those years of mentoring, well, lo and behold, what a surprise... Amy Chua and Professor Rubenfeld's daughter, who is exquisitely beautiful and probably has a bigger brain than Albert Einstein did, miraculously becomes a Brett Kavanaugh clerk. There's only one problem now. Remember... Brett Kavanaugh, and this smells a little like guilt by association, and for that I apologize. Brett Kavanaugh was a clerk to another right-wing piece of shit named Alex Kaczynski. He's the guy who would call his female clerks into his chambers, show them pornographic photos, and ask them if it made them hot. When queried about this in his confirmation hearing, Brett Kavanaugh said, I had no idea. I never heard of any such thing. When, in fact, just about anybody else you ask about Alex Kaczynski will say, yeah, everybody knew he was a perv, but he was really powerful, and he could make you or break you, so, you know, you still wanted to work for him. Darlene... apparently has gone and done some Googling on her own. Yes, all young, attractive brunettes with nice legs. So it wasn't just me. That's reassuring. And along the way, of course, Amy Chua, I just find this... I don't know, maybe it's just because I don't move in those kind of social circles. It may be up in New Haven, it's all just circles within circles within circles within circles. But it just seemed kind of weird to have her pop into this discussion, Amy Chua, having a little over a year or so ago, having materially aided in foisting upon the nation one J.D. Vance, author of an execrable tome called Hillbilly Elegy, in which J.D. Vance spent many, many pages explaining to America that hillbillies are like they are because hillbillies, and they won't pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, and other such right-wing Republican hogwash. And Amy Chua just brayed and praised J.D. Vance because, well, I guess Amy's probably never really been to anything resembling Appalachia, and she thinks of us in the same vein that she thinks of, you know, hobbits and unicorns and that leprechaun from the Lucky Charms ad. So there was that. And then more recently, and I know there's some pushback on this, but I'm going to raise the issue anyway, she changed the terms of the dialogue in this country, single-handedly. Any time that you turn on the for-profit media and see some powdered panjandrum holding forth and bemoaning the tribalism of American culture these days... You have Amy Chua to thank for it. because she's the one who decided that people who behave according to a credo, a political credo, are somehow being tribal, and that being tribal is somehow a bad thing. You know, for instance, a definition of not being tribal, going along to get along with Donald Trump, and, you know, just letting the Republicans run roughshod over all manner of poor people and people that Amy Chua wouldn't speak to or even know existed, you know. Harris, the thought, Murgatroyd. Right? And, you know, her tribalism smacks of a cultural elitism that I just find disgusting. And I'll go down this road again, no matter who I piss off, and say that, interestingly, tribal peoples have not caused climate change. Non-tribal peoples have largely brought about climate change. Tribal peoples did not commit an entire hemispheric genocide. Non-tribal people did that. Tribal peoples have not started the great wars that killed tens upon tens, if not hundreds of millions of human beings upon this planet in the last century alone. Non-tribal people did that. But the tribal people, who tend to have the knowledge and experience to live close to the land and in concert with the world in which they live, nah, Amy Chua thinks that they're just disgusting. Tribalism. Get me another martini, Reuben. That Amy Chua. And this is the elitist snob who has been helping to pick the little elitist snobs for Brett Kavanaugh, so that whenever he walks down a hall, he's got a cadre of beautiful young women around him, as if he was some sort of a cross between Oliver Wendell fucking Holmes and Hugh fucking Hefner. But she claims, Amy Chua claims that she never groomed anybody. Of course, you know, grooming and mentoring within the context that of the Kavanaugh allegations now is probably not a term you like seeing associated with your name. Picking up the denial and running with it like a stolen football, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda published the following headline: Yale law professor denies claim that Kavanaugh only had clerks that looked like models.
Yes, I mean, 24 out of 48 of Kavanaugh's appointments were young men, and he never made them wear a... I never advised any of them to wear a skirt that came to 2 inches above their knees. And some of them were all even perhaps prematurely balding. I don't know. They didn't all look like models. Just the women ones.
In a statement, she said,
he hires only the most qualified clerks, and they've been diverse as well as exceptionally talented and capable. There's a good reason so many of them have gone on to Supreme Court clerkships. He only hires those who are extraordinarily qualified.
Yeah. So, either they all...
You know, they aren't skinny, and they don't look like they're on heroin now. They don't look like models.
So that's where we are. It took us an hour and 15 minutes to get where we are, but that's where we are. And I'm sort of... we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. The Senate has gotten all worked up and caught up in the lace in their lace doilies, saying, you know, we need for Dr. Ford to RSVP as soon as possible. Because, yeah, you know, you don't know how many lady fingers you're going to need from the Senate cafeteria, Senate catering. And we need her biography. Well, goddammit, Chuck Grassley, use the Google. Oh, they're scared to death of this woman. And now she's in negotiations saying, you know, I might testify after all. Which, of course, has probably sent Lindsay back under the fainting couch, grasping desperately for a julep. They thought it was a brilliant thing putting nothing but men on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Of course, being Republicans, maybe they didn't have any of those smart lawyery women. And, oh dear God, can you imagine noted, reputed hog deballer Joni Ernst of Iowa on the committee alongside her senior senator Chuck Grassley? I mean, it's not like it's unheard of. You got the two Texas senators are both on the committee. Or, how about Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins? See, they've got their own gigs, and they might not necessarily have wanted to waste their time on judiciary. Marty, with a question. About Brett's Angels. Any of them have skin color close to their hair color? None that I've found, although, to be fair, see, fair skin, see what I did there? Don't try this at home. Amy Chua's daughter is going to be darker-ish, but not real dark. Subject line, what do you expect? Ron in Raleigh says, my brother's a lawyer. He told me about a phrase used by lawyers. The phrase is, test a lie. Lawyers are trained to lie convincingly. Remember old Balls and Strikes Roberts? P.S., you want to bet that Dr. Ford looks like his clerks? I've seen a photo. I saw what apparently was a yearbook photo. And she was cute as a button back in high school when she went to that hoity-toity private school. By the way, her classmates and people who went to that school many of them have signed on saying, yeah, we believe her. Yeah. So, what's this about my slow tablet? Lisa's, if one tablet does not work for you, take two tablets and call me in the morning. Walked right into that one, didn't I? Yeah. So, you know, what you think it matters. If I've been unfair, you know, tell me. You know, as long as you're not a maggot. No maggots are allowed on this program. They've got plenty of opportunities to spew elsewhere. But there's just too much smoke here. You know, for there not to be a little fire. And you know, you'd think the Republicans would have learned by now. There was a lot of smoke surrounding George W. Bush. You know, the whole DUI thing and the AWOL thing and the M-80s in the frog's ass thing and the screaming at his mommy and daddy thing and the potty trained at gunpoint thing and angry breaking of croquet mallets and thing up in Kennebunkport. And you know how they handled it? Do you remember? I know you remember. I remember. Those were matters of my youthful indiscretions, and I'm not going to discuss them anymore. Somehow, though, in the era in which the President of the United States is a man who bragged, not admitted simply, but bragged about grabbing women by their genitals, I guess it's a little hard to brazen that one out now. But Kavanaugh, you see, has been held up as a paragon. He's a Solon in waiting. He's Solomon with a razor sharp sword, waiting to go up onto Capitol, up to the Supreme Court building there across from the Capitol and get to baby splitting. So he can't be flawed. He can't have youthful indiscretions. He was, after all, the son of a sitting judge in Maryland, which is in a way worse than being a preacher's kid. Then again, we all know about the preacher's kids, right? So it's about 20 minutes past the hour. Thank you very kindly to Charlene for jumping in. Thank you so much for all you do, Charlene. Thank you so very much. And we got below the $600 mark. We're down to $595, $595 to go in fundraising this evening. And hopefully Charlene will get a bunch of neighbors and a whole lot of company. And maybe we will not be facing a $795 fundraising goal tomorrow, because those things are freaking harrowing. And also can lead to this program not being on the air. It's just a fact. I mean, I wish I was getting a check for my advocacy for neuro-linguistic programming, but gosh, I'm sorry, I'm not. Let's run over and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
You know, just kind of trying to hold it together and get over this this caffeine rush that I inadvertently subjected myself to.
I was listening to the show earlier, and we were talking about Lindsey Graham and talk about drive-by shootings and, you know, and basically saying that no matter what anybody says, we're going to make sure that Brett Kavanaugh become, you know, a Supreme Court justice. And as somebody who grew up in South Central L.A. in the middle of the crack wars, whose house was, you know, a neighborhood that, you know, suffered through drive-by shootings,
The real kind, not just the sort of sort of thing that makes a Republican feel a little uncomfortable.
Right, and whose house had a Molotov cocktail thrown at it. You know, these kind of things, and also being a victim of sexual assault. Well, it was rape, and you know. These things that these men are saying and discounting what this woman has gone through is not just upsetting. It's beyond pale. I mean, what happened to me happened 30 years, even longer than that, 35 years ago. And I still suffer every so often with PTSD, or I'll get a trigger, or I'll watch something, or hear something, or smell something.
And I don't want, Tracy, to make any of that happen, but can I ask some general questions?
Sure.
I mean, I don't want the particulars or anything. But that was 30 plus years ago, right?
Yep. On my 16th birthday.
Well, okay, so there's one detail. I was going to ask you, without trying to make you go into it or relive it or hurt you, I don't mean that. I love you and you're a friend. Is there a particular level of clarity that surrounds that event?
It's so clear. I could talk about it because basically what happened.
I don't want you to.
No. But because it's part of my healing, and so it's I'm in therapy and everything. But what I'm saying is that, you know, that is so clear that I could almost tell you pretty much what time it happened. the smells of the room, the whole thing. I mean, you're talking to a person that, like I said, you know, not going into great detail, but on my 16th birthday, there was this guy that I really liked, and he invited me to his room, and we were making out, and the next thing I know, unbeknownst to me, he has some of his buddies hiding in his room. So, as what happened is, I got gang raped. It's just, and there's no nice way to say
Jesus,
it.
Jesus, Jesus.
But the worst part about it, because I never told anybody. Well, I didn't have to, because then they went and told people that I wanted it, you know, that I invited this whole thing to happen to me. And so it was, you know, rumors about me, the whole shebang. And I had to live with that shame. I never told my parents. I never told my brothers, because of the neighborhood that we lived in, it could have caused, people could have been killed. So I just let it go. So it's like, so blithely just act like it's no big deal, you know, it's more than that, especially for women, because I mean, and unfortunately for me, that was not the first nor the last time that I suffered some kind of sexual assault or attempted rape or date rape. Or so it's one of these things that you don't get over. You heal. You try to, you know, learn how to breathe and stuff, but it has affected me to this day, to the point that I'm on medication. I don't function well at times. When I was in therapy, or still in therapy, I was wondering why I can't seem to move forward with my life. I start stuff and I stop stuff, and I start and I stop. And then I realized, because of everything that has happened to me, the trauma, you just can't, when people say, oh, just get over it, you can't just get over it. Some women are fortunate that, like Dr. Ford, she was able to, you know, finish school, you know, go on to graduate from college, master's, and get her PhD. And, you know, I applaud women like that. Unfortunately for me, my life has been stunted. I just seem to sometimes can't, when I have these moments of clarity where I'm doing fine and my life is going okay, and then something will happen and I just get pulled back to that dark place. So, you know, I am 52 years old and it is still affecting my life. And to the point where there's times where I lay down and I can't get up, and I just shut down. Like, you know, those times when you guys haven't heard from me in months, and you're like wondering.
And we worry, yes.
And you worry, direct result. And so now that I'm understanding what's going on with me, you know, like I said, I'm back in therapy and I'm on decent meds and stuff. So I'm starting to kind of get that, you know, that sense that I'm getting better, but you know, it's debilitating.
Do you ever have moments, Tracy, where you just ask, why do I still have to think about this? Why do I have to keep remembering this?
Every fucking day, a lot of times, Bob, you know, sometimes I'm sitting and I'm watching something on television, and you know, and I just burst into tears, because it's, you know, especially like when it comes to, you know, because like I've told you guys before, you know, I never talked about the gang rape before, but you know, for 5 years, my stepfather sexually molested me. So you know, I'll be watching something on television, and you know, it's about a girl being molested by her father and not being believed. And the worst part about what happened to me, especially with my stepfather, is not that when I told my mother that what happened, she believed me, but she did nothing to protect me. She didn't, you know, and so I have that trauma to deal with too. And my mother and I have, you know, I love my mother fiercely,
But, you know, there are those times when I go months without speaking to her because, like I said, something will trigger and I get so angry. And I'm just like, you know, your only job in my life as a mother is to protect me, is to keep. And if anything does happen to me, you are supposed to, you know, damn near kill the person that hurt me. Simple. You know, that's what I feel that any mother should do. And my mother didn't. I mean, you know, she has since, you know, apologized and you know, asked my forgiveness and stuff like that. But it's so hard to forgive. Like, it's so hard to forgive the, you know, the perpetrators and not want them to, you know, actually, three of the guys that did that to me died horrible, violent deaths. Was I upset? Not in the least, you know. So, and my stepfather died a painful death as well. So, you know what? When, you know, I am a Christian and I do believe in forgiveness, but I don't believe in forgetting. And there's only a certain, you know, I can only throw that Christianity so far because when my stepfather died, a part of me rejoiced. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I can't even imagine, you know, that I am definitely against the death penalty. But when those guys, when I found out that those guys died and then years later my stepfather died, I didn't feel bad, Bob.
I'm not comparing, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember the day. I hate going into this. I remember the day that we found out my brother was dead. And when you're like, you know, this little 8-year-old kid, your brain, no matter, and I was bright, but your brain goes in different directions.
Yes, it does.
And I remember the adults telling me, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. And in many ways, it feels like from tears have all, I mean, the tears are always difficult for a male because
yes.
We are so conditioned against them. But tears have always been very difficult for me. It took me months before I could cry for my mother, no matter how dearly I loved her. Just because it's so hard to come by. And of course, in my mind, because I told this story at length one evening months ago, and I don't mean to wear people out with it, but one of the last interactions I have with him was when he was beating me with a tree limb.
Your brother?
Yeah. And this is long after he had started raping me. And I looked at him, and I screamed at the top of my little voice, I hope you die. And then he did. And I got to see the picture of his brains leaking out the side of his head on a nice white hospital stretcher pillow.
Oh, well.
And that little kid brain... That little kid brain planted a seed in there that has never completely gone away. That, you know, I killed him.
You killed him.
And I know rationally I didn't.
But it doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. And like you said, smells, colors, time of day, the way the light was coming through the bedroom window, the sound of the lawnmower that my mother was pushing outside because my brother was too much of a useless piece of shit to go mow the grass, and the fact that my father wasn't there, It's not yesterday. It's 5 minutes ago.
And it's
always 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Dr. Ford describes what happened to her and describes how terrified she was and how afraid she was going to die, she was that they were so drunk that they might accidentally kill her, not even meaning to. As someone who has tested the credibility of others, I find that credible.
I do too.
I find that credible.
Especially, like, you know.
And I hate, Tracy. I hate with a white hot, and in my case, I do mean white, hot passion that would melt the fucking sun. Any Republican man on that goddamn committee, I hate them for sitting around trying to think of a way of taking her truth away from her for the sake of their goddamn political expediency. Sorry, not yelling at you.
No. And this is what, you know, this is, again, aside from everything that Brett Kavanaugh represents, as what he would become as a Supreme Court justice, you know, everything that he would do to put the death knell in the rights of anybody that looks like me in this country, all that aside, the fact that this happened, and I cannot believe that there aren't more women out there that he did this to. I you know, that doesn't sound like a youthful indiscretion. And I'm
you know
so
what?
Tired of that boys will be boys bullshit.
I almost guarantee you, Tracy, that sitting somewhere on the Republican side among all those old white men on that committee, and certainly in the larger Republican caucus, there have got to be members who have had something similar done to them. The statistical probabilities of that it's impossible because of the pervasive nature of it in our culture. And so they're over there and they're repressing it. And they're trying not to remember it. Maybe old Chuck Grassley just doesn't want to remember the smell of the hog shit in his nose when it was done to him. Or God knows. Maybe Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, doesn't want to think about when it was done to him by somebody who told him that he had to be quiet about it or Jesus wouldn't love him.
Exactly. Oh, and speaking of Jesus loving you, so have you, you know, this whole thing with Mark Judge, have you heard about him and a former priest?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I posted that story on my Facebook page earlier today. Mark Judge attacked a guy, and the guy didn't go to Georgetown Prep at the same time Mark
No.
Judge did. But the guy wrote about the sexual assault perpetrated by a priest at Georgetown Prep. And Mark Judge attacked him and accused him of being an angry liberal homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And then years went by, and lo and behold, the priest did turn out to be a child raping predator priest. And then Mark Judge turned around and wrote and said it was the liberal permissiveness at Georgetown Prep that turned him into a child raping predator priest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's getting past smoke, Tracy. It's getting up past smoke and on toward raging conflagration.
Okay, what does that word mean?
A completely out of control fire.
Okay, thank you. I'm like, wait, what? Remember, not a college graduate. You've been
yet
using those words. It's like, you know, I keep coming back to, you know, Dr. Dyson when, you know, lugubrious. And, you know, there's the meme out there of this, of somebody going, me, you know, looking up, you know, using my thesaurus to understand what Dr. Dyson was saying during Aretha Franklin's funeral.
Oh, and wait, by the way, I just had a note from James in Illinois who said, Dr. Ford's trauma is such that she can't sleep in a room that doesn't have an exit to the outside.
Mm-hmm. I'm like that, too. I have to, because when, this, especially with my stepfather, I finally got a lock, you know. I actually installed the lock on my door. Went and bought the lock and installed it on my door. And, you know, and I used the excuse because at the time I was the only girl with, you know, four brothers. So, and stepbrother and stuff like that. So I just said, well, you know, they're always, yeah, I don't want them in my room, you know. But the truth of the matter was that, you know, of my stepfather. And like I said, with the smells, my stepfather was a raging alcoholic, and he smoked cigars. So there's that smell of the alcohol seeping through his pores, and the smell of the cheap cigars. That to this day, I haven't smelled it in a while. But like if somebody's been drinking, and they walk by me, and you know, still alcohol or cigarette smell, it's like bile. And it's like I have to, you know, it makes me sick to my stomach when I smell those smells. I am so glad that I, you know, it's like what they say about women who, it's hard enough about the rape. But then when the women who are brave enough to come forward, and especially, you know, before females became cops and they had such as like special victims units and stuff like that, you know, people especially trained to deal with victims of rape, you know, the woman would feel like she was being raped again if she was brave enough to report. Because, you know, especially if she was brave enough to report of somebody that was a person in the seat of power. And to biggest fear for any woman who is the victim of rape, attempted rape, sexual assault, whatever the case may be, to the worst thing is to worry about being believed. And then, you know, and if they are believed to go through, you know, if they have the rape kit and all this stuff and the pictures and everything that you have to go through as a woman. And I can't even imagine back in the 70s and 60s and 50s or 70s, 80s or whatever, you know, well, like you said, well, what were you wearing? How much did you have to drink? All these things that, you know, you victimize, you turn the victim into the criminal. Like it's her fault. Obviously it's your fault, honey. And then somebody will call you honey or sweetheart or something and say, you know, it's your fault that you were in this position. Well, what were you doing out that night? And not at all.
Well, by the way, you got
any numbers to things.
You got a note from Steve in New York a minute ago. Steve said, so let me get this straight. A group of men raped Tracy, and she thought of the neighborhood, and frankly, that group of monsters, over her own welfare. Nobody better ever, ever, ever even intimate to me that women are in the least way weaker than men. And he adds, Tracy, I only hope I can have a modicum of that much strength one day if I need it. So.
Thank you, Steve.
And you know, yeah, you talk about smells. See, it happened in a lot of different places, what I dealt with. It happened where I grew up, and it happened up here, because we'd come up here in the summer. And where it happened down home, down Alabama, A, it's a long way away now, and B, that place is, well, it no longer basically exists. But up here, Up here, the place still exists, and it's about 2 miles from me. And when I still had access to it, I would go down there alone sometimes and just sit there and shake. But you talk about smells. Well, the basement of that house, my grandfather, my grandmother was an amazing cook. My God, she was good. And what she was particularly famous for was her homemade fudge. And there were secrets involved. I have them now. But what really made it good was freshly hulled black walnuts. Well, you got to say the walnuts were black, Bob. and those things are a bear to get at. You ever seen a black walnut, Tracy?
No.
Well, when they fall from the tree, they're somewhere between the size of a baseball and a golf ball.
Oh, wow.
And they've got this huge green hull around them. And it's vegetable. It's vegetative. And so the first thing you have to do to get to the actual shell is get that hull off of it. And it has this bitter, astringent smell. And when you go to take it off, it will turn a white man's hands purple.
Ooh.
And my grandfather, who passed away when I was 5, would have bags of them that he would collect because he would spend his day down in the basement and he would hull those black walnuts and the smell, and it, I guess it's kind of an oily, it's kind of an oil, and it didn't matter what time of year or how many years had passed, the smell of those black walnut hulls pervaded the room. And I remember that smell.
Yeah.
And it's not a, you know, it's not a happy memory. And even once you get down to the shell, they're a bastard to break into. And then you got to kind of pick them out because they're not a true walnut. They're a droop, D-R-U-P-E. A pecan is a droop.
Sounds like too much work for me.
But they're so sweet and they are so delicious. They don't taste anything like an English walnut. They're wonderful. But that smell of those hulls is one of those things. And that's what we mean. And that's what we mean when we say trigger. And that's what good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Republican Christians laugh at. Oh, look, the little snowflakes are triggered again. You fucks. I hope you're never fucking triggered.
That's why I tell people when I hear about stuff like this, and because I know what that feels like. I know what it's like to feel completely helpless. To feel that, and then to make it to feel like it's your fault. That's the worst part. And nothing you could do about it. And you blame yourself. Because it's like, you know, I should have known not to be in that room. I should have known better. But, you know, I didn't. And there you go.
Well, I just got a note in from Kitty in Boston. She gave me the go-ahead to share this. When I was 12 or just turning 13, one of my brother's friends assaulted me in my home in a similar way that Dr. Ford experienced. Thankfully, I was able to break away and run. I had no idea how to deal with this attack. Growing up in a Catholic family, I told no one because I thought I would be blamed. Never said anything about it for almost 30 years. I'm 56 years old now, and the thought of that incident still makes me sick to my stomach. I never forget how scared and ashamed I was. I want so much for Dr. Ford to be heard and believed. I want that for her, for Tracy, and for every other woman who has ever been a victim of sexual assault. Tell Tracy I love her. Signed, Kitty.
Thank you. I'm going to put you on mute because I'm at the store, so I don't want you guys to hear all this noise.
Oh, well, okay. Hopefully it won't last. Hopefully it won't last too terribly long, but.
No, it won't last that long. I'm at the checkout, so I'm checking out. So I'm putting you on mute, I'll be back.
Well, I've got an addition for Tracy's grocery list. Just tried this recently. I brought it back with me from the coast. But it comes from, how can he do this? How can he segue from these horrible things into food porn? Well, because that's what makes the horrible things bearable. I don't know if it will have made it to California or not. Sims Foods down in Alabama. It's a brand called Wickles, Wickles. And I've seen their sweet relish and stuff, but this is their hot and spicy hoagie and sub sandwich relish. It's red, and it is spicy and sweat-inducing. And oh, is it good. By the way, I'm getting perilously close to the bottom of my bottle of Trader Joe's yuzu sauce. But for those of you who saw the smoked pork butts on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, I can guarantee that Trader Joe's yuzu sauce is some kind of awesome on that pulled pork that comes off the acorn in my backyard.
What's the closest Trader Joe's to you?
Nowhere. I mean, I only went to Trader Joe's because I was up in the D.C. area.
Is that something that somebody that has a Trader Joe's, like, the walking distance from them can ship to you?
maybe. Yeah, I mean, it's a tiny little bottle.
Uh-huh. And what's it called again?
it is Trader Joe's yuzu, Y-U-Z-U, hot sauce. Simultaneously okay. Spicy and citrusy fragrant.
Ooh.
But now I'm petrified because of this other stuff I was talking about, I bought while I was down south, and I'm afraid I'll never find it again. But this, yeah.
Aren't you in the south, Bob?
No, well, I mean, I'm in West Virginia. We're technically south, but not that kind of south, a deep south.
Okay.
But it's called Wickles Hoagie and Sub Sandwich Relish, and it's this red relish, and you can see all the hot pepper seeds in it and everything, and it is tangy and hot as fire, and it, too, goes good on pulled pork.
Oh, speaking of pulled pork, yes, I did the pulled pork.
Yes.
In the crock pot for 12 hours. And because I've never had pulled pork before. I'm not a big pork eater, except for bacon.
Only now you are?
Oh, no. I grew up eating pork, but I don't, you know, as far as going and, like, buying pork and cooking pork, that's not what I don't, like, ooh, pork chops and stuff like that. I've never been, like, huge, big, you know. But I just got it in my head because I remember you talking about it the other day, and then my best friend did pulled pork in her crock pot. And so just the other day, was it Tuesday, I was at Ralph's. Why did they have, you know, how they mark down the meat? An 8-pound pork roast, shoulder roast, for $10.
Well, you got the right cut, that's for sure.
And so I had them cut it in half because there's no way I'm going to need 8 pounds of meat. And it wasn't going to fit in my crock pot anyway. So I had them cut it in half. And, did it. I put in onions and
lemon pepper. When you're doing it that way, lemon pepper goes really, really well.
Ooh, never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of other seasonings. And, oh, my God. It was ridiculous. I just, you know, we ate that. I did it Tuesday, so we had that Tuesday and yesterday for leftovers. Tonight, I'm grilling steaks and baked potatoes and sauteed spinach. That's why I was at the store. I realized
no argument. No argument from me. That sounds. And I love me some sauteed spinach.
Oh my God! I love sauteed, you know, with garlic and olive oil. So that's what we're going to have for dinner tonight. But, you know, and like you said, it's, you know, how do we segue from, you know, the trauma of rape to food porn? Like you said, because we have to. It's like, because if you don't start laughing, if you don't keep laughing, you're going to burst into tears. And I try just to keep laughing. I have to admit that I haven't been laughing a lot lately. I have been in a state of just, you know, just overwhelming. And, you know, the part, it's not even that I'm sad, Bob. I'm just numb. I don't feel anything. And that's the, being numb is worse than being, you know, because you want to feel something. But when you don't feel anything, it's horrible. It reminds me, do you watch Schitt's Creek?
I've heard about it, and I think I watched an episode of it.
Okay, well, you got to stick with it. But there's a one of the adult children. Her name is Alexis, and she's talking to her brother about,
This is the one with Eugene Levy, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Catherine
yeah.
O'Hara.
Yeah, brilliant.
And she's like, I don't feel anything. I have gone to, and I don't know, understand this. I've gone to doctors, and they can't figure out why I don't feel anything. And that's, you know, and that's a horrible feeling. I mean, every so often, like, I'll have bursts of, you know, like the other day, Janet and I went on a double date with another couple, and we went and saw A Simple Favor, which was actually pretty good. And because there was some actual laugh-out-loud moments, which, you know, I haven't done that in a while. And so I have, like I said, I have these moments of, like, I'm just kind of, you know, laughing, or I'm, you know, I'm crying because, you know, not tears of sadness, but, like, something touches me. And I'm like, oh, that's sweet. And I get kind of misty-eyed. So I still, you know, but for the most part, it's like when I talk to my therapist about it. And that's the worst part, is when you just don't feel anything. And I don't know. I know a lot of it is because of, you know, what's happening in our country right now, and how people are, you know, still getting away with killing black men, how a cop can come into a brother's house and claim, well, I thought it was my apartment. Since when do you need to walk upstairs, bitch? And, you know, how do you?
And what's,
you know,
with, and what's, and what's with the yelling?
Right. You said, you claimed that the door was ajar, but then your neighbors report that they heard you yelling and let me in. And you know that bitch is out on bail.
Oh yeah, well,
out,
I mean,
on bail
and
on administrative leave, which means.
Getting
paid.
Getting
paid.
Getting paid. Well, I saw one today, and bear in mind, this is one of those instances of white-on-white crime, and I don't know why we don't do something in this country about all this white-on-white crime.
Oh, I don't know, Bob. I don't know how you guys...
But it comes out of, I think, Abilene, Texas. And it's... I'm not going to play the audio because it's harrowing. But a pair of two set, there were two, there was one guy and another guy and his son, and they were arguing over the guy putting his garbage in his trash.
Oh God.
And redneck daddy comes out with a pistol on his hip, and redneck son goes in and comes back out with a shotgun. And they proceeded to scream things at each other in Texan. And then redneck daddy and redneck son blew the dude away. And the victim's wife was sitting there videoing the whole thing. Well, the police came and got him and arrested him for first-degree murder. You want to guess what their bond was?
What, $1,000? $500?
No, $25,000 a piece. for first-degree murder in the state of Texas for two white guys who were caught on video doing it. $25,000 apiece.
Well, at least they got first-degree murder. She's only getting charged with manslaughter.
Or, as I refer to it in situations such as that, man's laughter. Because it's a joke. But,
yeah. She murdered that man.
Yeah. And then the fact that they turned around and started, he was a smoking that marijuana. That was sickening. Just sickening. But on the other hand, not at all surprising.
Nope.
I'm looking here trying to find something. Ron apparently found this Wickles stuff at Walmart. Hopefully I'll find it up here. But my God, it's good. Now I need to see where it. I just got a note from Robert. It turns out my junior senator, Tracy Shelley Moore Capito, daughter of Arch Moore, the single most corrupt politician ever to inhabit a political office in the state of West Virginia. Well, naturally, white privilege. She gets to be a senator. Well, she attended the same school as Dr. Ford. And someone has delivered to Shelley Moore Capito a letter signed by 1,000-plus alumni of that school in support of Dr. Ford. But Shelley Moore Capito is, of course, a Republican, and she wouldn't care if there was actual video of it. It would not change the outcome. But I'm looking.
Oh wow! She's not trying to go into jail. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Let me see here. All right, there we go, and. Did you see this this event from it showed up on Twitter. It comes from an incident involving a woman complaining about what was done to her luggage to a Delta employee. We will call her Suitcase Sally. The Delta employee, in line with Barbecue Becky and Pool Patty. Let's check in on the audio on that, shall we?
So you can't give me the manager on duty who you called? Okay, well, can you give me, does he have a business card? Does he have a phone number? Okay, well, I can wait. I can wait for you to call him back.
Now, bear in mind, there's a good 2.5-3 feet between the white lady behind the Delta counter and the woman who is complaining, okay? You've already heard her voice. There's nothing threatening going on. She wants to speak to a manager. That's all.
I can wait for you to call him back.
He's not going to be able to come back down here.
But I need his name for my claim. I need all staff that was on so I can submit my report.
Okay, well, you can get it from him.
This is the woman who refuses to give the manager's name.
Are you recording me?
This is the woman who refuses to give the name.
So, entonces,
she picks up the phone.
You're not supposed to be recording me.
Okay.
Hey, Frank, it's Tedra. Can I have the state police and baggage, please?
Mm-hmm. Please?
I have a lady who's in my face recording me and won't leave the office.
I'm asking for a manager.
Thank you.
Yeah. Isn't that just charming?
How dare you? How dare you exercise your right to file a complaint?
Over damaged luggage.
Yeah, I read that
Since then, Delta has apologized to the customer in question after the baggage service staff white lady called the cops on her for simply asking to speak to a manager. Is it okay if I ask the simple question, why does baggage lady, why does baggage Becky still have a job?
Your guess is as good as mine. Because there's no way she should have a job. You know, she, are you recording me? Yeah, I'm recording you, because I want the proof that you're an idiot. And the only thing I want to do, I mean, if I got the cops called on me every time I complain, I would be underneath the jail. Because I complain. Like, if my luggage is damaged, I actually had a customer the other day that I picked up, this white guy. And I, asked him, because I had another pickup after him, so I asked him when he got into the van to scoot over because, I have another pickup. He got so mad, he threw his phone down and da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, is there a problem, sir? Have I done something to offend you? No, just close the door. And I said, first of all, sweetie.
Wow.
You will not speak to me in that manner? Do you feel that the only reason that you can speak to me that way is because I'm black? I will go there.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Because I get that every so often. I'll get spoken to or treated in such a way that I know that's only happening because I'm a black woman. Because, like, if I was a black man, there's a lot of times that I know that white men wouldn't say a word to me. And they figure I'm a black woman, so I'm less than. And they feel that, they can say or speak to me in any sort of shape, form, or fashion. And that is not the case. I'm not good with that, and it sets me. I don't typically go off. It depends on my mood, and how tired I am, and how hungry I am. There's a lot of mitigating factors to the level of how pissed off I'll get, and a lot of times I just let it go because it's not worth it. Especially depending on what neighborhood I'm in, because I think I told you years back, I was at the gas station, and I was backing up to get to a pump, and I guess I wasn't moving fast enough or whatever, but this woman, white woman in her Mercedes, whips around me and almost hits my car, and she was getting out the car, and I got out the car to pump my, and I said, you know what? And I was really calm. I said, you almost hit my car. And she's like, basically, so what? What if I did? I'm like, I forget what she said. And my response before I could think about it was, if you didn't have so much Botox, maybe you could see where you were going.
Ooh. Ouch. That burns. That stings.
And then that's when it got ugly. Then she's like, what, you think because I'm a skinny white girl, I can't, and you're a big black bitch? Yeah, she went there.
Oh, my.
That I can't kick your ass? And I said, sweetie, I know I can whoop your ass, but here's the problem. You're a white woman, and I'm a black woman, and we're in Sherman Oaks. And no matter how many times I'm saying that I'm defending myself, I'm going to jail. You're not. Because she really wanted to cause a fight. I was just like, and it's like I said, it took every fiber of my being not to beat the shit out of this woman, Bob. But I knew what would happen had I laid a finger on her, even if I was defending myself. It wouldn't have mattered. Because I'm a black woman in Sherman Oaks, and it's a perceived threat to, this little skinny white woman, even though she's the one that was causing the threat. But it didn't matter. But I have enough sense to know that I was going to be the one thrown in jail because America. But yeah, she called me a big black bitch.
Jesus. Well, I just got a little piece of information in. Where Kavanaugh is concerned, don't be surprised in the next couple of days if you hear that something probably happened to Dr. Ford, but it's a sad case of mistaken identity. Brett Kavanaugh's evil twin did it.
The twin that they didn't know about, like the man in the iron mask?
No, I'm not kidding. There's a guy named Ed Whelan, and he runs one of those wingnut welfare think tanks. He's a former law clerk for Fat Dead Tony Scalia. And for the last week, he's been saying that he thinks he has the answer to all of this. And this may be where the bullshit of Orrin Hatch saying, the little lady is mixed up, is coming from. Because, of course, the white wingnut welfare think tanks have almost unlimited access. It's like an open sewer that runs two ways between Republican politicians and the think tanks. So apparently there was a guy in the class who looked allegedly like Brett Kavanaugh.
No.
And, here's what he says. The assault occurred in a suburban Maryland area home at a gathering that included me and four others. That's what she says. Not far from the Columbia Country Club. Kavanaugh, Mark Judge, P.J. Smith, and a female classmate of Ford's. None of them lived in anywhere near the country club. Well, he establishes that the house that the evil twin lived in was near the country club, or claims to, and then claims to offer up the floor plan. I mean, this is real wingnut Perry Mason shit. Clarity just turned me on to it on Twitter, and it's like, oh my God. Don't be surprised. Do not be surprised. So, you know.
In this thing, they're conceding that it happened, but it wasn't Kavanaugh.
Right. And see, I can see where making that claim would offer a way out. And pretty soon we're going to find out that my guess is, they've been huddling. Kavanaugh's been huddling at the White House with the Trump regime, trying to figure a way out of the corner into which he's been painted, and painted himself. So what we're going to do, or what we're going to hear, is that it might have been his evil twin, and actually Brett was busy at the time. He was in the far frightening corners of D.C. giving soup to homeless people that night. Yeah, right. There you go.
I love America.
And Lee says, it was Bart O'Kavanaugh all along. Mm-hmm. And he would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for you meddling kids.
For those damn meddling kids. I miss Scooby-Doo.
Well, Tracy, it's been a lovely conversation. Go ahead, dear.
Oh, no. I was going to, speaking of children's television, so what's up with Bert and Ernie?
You know, I've had so many things that just make me want to guzzle brain bleach that I have not had time to ponder the intricacies of puppet sex. All I want is for Bert and Ernie to be happy.
Yes.
I don't know why it is that you know, I remember when Jerry Falwell, who is now busy getting the reverse pineapple for all eternity in hell. I remember when Jerry Falwell got all upset about Tinky Winky because Tinky Winky carried a purse and had a triangle on his head, and that meant he was gay and he was having gay puppet sex.
Well, you know, speaking of gay puppet sex, there is a movie that got horrible review with Melissa McCarthy called The Happy Time Murders or something like that. And basically it's about puppets having sex and getting murdered. And I saw, when I saw the preview for it, I just said, this is terrible. This is going to be horrible. And of course, when it came out last month, and it's just gotten panned at the review. So there are people who, you know, actually ponder, because they made an extra movie about puppet sex.
And I'm sure there's probably a magazine, a TV channel, and more stuff on the internet than I ever dare look for.
For puppet sex.
And I can't. I mustn't.
Please don't.
I dare not. Because I just don't know what the thing is going to be that just sends me through the door, tearing at my hair and running rabbits and eating dirt.
Do me a favor, because I'm going to let you go. Text me the name of that stuff from Trader Joe's.
Oh, I will. Okay. Okay. I'll send it to you.
Because, I have the recall and retention of a special needs max. So.
I understand.
So I you tell me stuff. Oh, and by the way, I've been looking for that jelly, and they don't have it in California. I'm like, fuck.
Oh, you know, it's funny because I looked around here. My Kroger's doesn't have it. The Walmart doesn't have it. My sister can't find it down south. And I know it's real because I've still got a jar of it, but they got three jars in it, the Wiggling Pig, and I'm beginning to think it was the only three jars that Smucker's made.
Yeah, because I haven't, I've gone to...
But I bet, but I know you can order it online.
Oh, okay. Cool. Then I will, because now I'm upset. Because the other day I made biscuits, and I was really wishing that I had that jelly.
Oh, but it is. Oh, it's fabulous on a hot biscuit, but you know, with some of that fancy ass good butter.
But the other
thing, it's the Irish, the New Zealand, the Finn,
the
French, you know, Ralph's, Smith's, Kroger's there's a private selection French butter that's, whoa, oh, it's good, and it's a lot less expensive than the Kerrygold. A high quality vanilla ice cream, Häagen-Dazs, Breyers, something like that, you know, no Gouard gum. That strawberry fruit spread, that honey strawberry jalapeno fruit spread on vanilla ice cream will lay you low.
Now that honey, what is it?
It's fruit honey spread, Smucker's fruit and honey spread, strawberry jalapeno.
I wonder if they have it on Amazon.
I just about bet. Somebody's bound to. The other thing I got to find, we've got a Keurig thing here, and I can't stand to pay for the stupid little throwaway cups because of all the sustainability issues. But if you get one of the little metal reusable ones, it's really handy. But you need the little coffee filters, the paper filters that go with them. It is $8 for 100 little tiny coffee filters for your Keurig thingamajig.
What?
$8. Yeah, when
I got rid of my Keurig.
Did you really?
Yeah. I don't drink coffee. I bought it because it was just something to buy. But Jan is a coffee purist, and she can't stand
grounds.
Keurig. You know, so she, you know, it has to be ground. We went on our cruise, she brought coffee, and now we're buying a coffee pot for travel.
Ooh, you know what you need?
What?
How much coffee does Jan drink?
Maybe a day. Honey,
How many cups of coffee do you drink in a day? It varies. Basically, usually about maybe 5, 6.
Okay, okay. So Stanley, you know, with the thermos jugs, the like you see on construction mm-hmm. sites, if you go on Amazon,
jugs, okay.
If you go on Amazon, Stanley makes an insulated 48-ounce French press.
48-ounce?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that and it makes a damn fine cup of coffee. There's a travel version that only makes 16 ounces, but the 48-ounce one's about, I think, $48. And the thing is, it'll keep coffee blazing hot for 6 hours. And that, and that French press coffee is really, really good. And it's just a matter of, you know, you get the water up to 200 degrees. Never boiling, mind you. You get the water to 200 degrees, you pour it over the grounds, you stir it up, you let it sit for 5 minutes, you push the plunger down, boom, awesome coffee.
Okay. Oh, I found the Smucker's at Walmart.
Oh.
Hmm. Not at Walmart, I have to buy it through, it's sold and shipped by Walmart.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see if they've got the Wickles, while you're at it, see if they've got the Wickles hoagie and sub sandwich relish spicy. You will be so glad you did.
Yeah, I will.
If you if you like to burn a little bit.
Well, that's my I don't, but Jan and Alex do. I could see
Alex ordering in a meatball sub and just laying this stuff across the meatball sub and going wild.
Yes. So it's Wiki
Wickles. Wickles.
Wickles.
As in wicked pickles.
Okay, Wickles. Okay.
Yeah.
I will be on my thing today. Don't forget to text me the name of that.
I already have. I already have.
All right, my darling. Well, you have a great rest of the evening.
You too. And thanks. And thanks for a conversation that is I know painful, and not easy. I appreciate it.
No, it's not. But sometimes these stories have to be told.
And you know what? You may have helped somebody tonight. In fact, I know you did. You helped me.
That's all that matters.
You helped me.
And you helped me as well.
Take care, Tracy.
So good night. You too, my love.
Bye.
Good night.
The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver calling from the L.A. area. Let's see. Thank you going out to Anatole. Thank you, Anatole, so very, very much. That means we are down to $545 to go in fundraising for the evening. With about 38 minutes to go in the program, 5:45. Thank you. Thank you, Anatole. Hopefully you and Charlene will get a little more company before the program ends. Thank you very, very much indeed. Arthur pointing out, come on, Bob. It wasn't Brett Kavanaugh. It was Vrett Kavanaugh with a C. An accent grave over the A who did it. You can see how people would be confused. Or was it Krett Bavanaugh? Or was it Charles Dickens with two K's? Yes, there are so many possibilities. How could we possibly reach something that would ever resemble clarity? By the way, for Tracy, I don't know if you're still listening. I don't know if Tracy's still listening. AeroPress for Tracy's coffee. AeroPress. Okay, I'll have to check out AeroPress, too. Meanwhile, let's run over and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
How do you do, Brother Bob?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. You know, no matter how frustrated I get over the exorbitant cost of those little tiny coffee filters, you're never going to drag me over to the freeze-dried dark side. You just won't, Scott.
Oh, I know. I don't even try anymore. I don't know that I ever tried. Speaking of filters, here's one. Just today, arriving in my little mailbox, were 30, count them, 30 balsa wood filters for my corn cob pipe that I got a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even realize it took a filter.
Balsa wood filter? Is it one of those little inline affairs, one of those little tiny tubular things?
Well, it's more triangular than tubular. It's about maybe two inches long, and it goes into the stem.
Yeah, so it is. So it's inline.
Yeah. Yeah, but balsa wood's very absorbent, and I didn't even know the thing took a filter. You don't have to use it, but it does make for a cool, dry smoke.
Mm.
But anyway, speaking of cool and dry, hi.
Bork and Reef.
Nah, I tried that years and years ago when I smoked a pipe, and it was I didn't like it.
For just off-the-shelf pipe tobacco, I always liked Captain Black in the white pouch.
Mm-hmm. There's a new one, Captain Black Copper, and I forget the constituents of it, but it's supposedly very good. Let's see. I would love to talk with Tracy sometime because I think I've got something, more than a few things, that she could apply to her struggle or situation that she might find have some value. So I'll drop her a line because, you know, and I hate to, you know, I don't want to come across as mansplaining or anything like that, but over the years you pick up, you know, valuable things, and you can't help but throw them out there and let people try them on to see if they fit. So she and I will have to do that. Let's see now. I meant to ask you this not long ago, and I know you were on the road in New Orleans and stuff, but did you ever get back to Breaking Bad?
I haven't. Guilty as charged, but I will okay. At some point.
Well, I hope
I do. I do the. I think looking back, I do more binge watching during cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's warm, I just want to be outside.
Yeah. Out there with your weed whacker.
Damn Skippy.
Or better yet, grilling. Butts galore. I think I knew her. She was a dancer on 14th Street in D.C. at This Is It.
She claimed in a loud voice to be a dancer, but I don't think she'd cut a rug in years. She listens to the jukebox for her answers and slowly guzzles 25-cent beers.
Now, where is that from?
Woman Going Crazy on Caroline Street, Jimmy Buffett.
Okay. Not a Buffett fan, but I will check it out. Now, there was something that I called about. And I'll be damned, I may have spaced it, and I hope I didn't, because it was quite useful. Give me a second here. Oh, I know one thing I wanted to mention. On Amazon Prime, the other day you mentioned Shirley Chisholm,
mm-hmm.
the late great. There is a documentary on Amazon Prime called Chisholm 72, Unbought and Unbossed. And I would say it's very much worth your time if you haven't seen it. Or even if you have seen it, watch it again to get a sense of, see, it's a, you know, the sign at the mall that says you are here and you can figure out where you are in relation to where you'd like to be?
Yeah, exactly, sure.
I think you're watching Chisholm 72, Unbought and Unbossed. Would be instructive for you or anybody else on Amazon Prime simply to give us a cosmic you are here orientation in terms of what Democrats once were capable of and where they are now. And at this point, the only one that seems to be in the within hailing distance of being a Shirley Chisholm type Democrat is probably I can't think of her name, the senator from Hawaii who called bullshit on the GOP machinations and manipulations. But anyway, so yeah, do check that out. God, I can't believe I've got to start writing myself little notes in crayon because they don't allow me anything sharp anymore. Oh, I know what it was. When you were talking with Tracy, mentioning subsequent visits to the now-gone old homestead, the first thing that flashed into my head was that scene in Forrest Gump where Jenny is out in the field throwing rocks and screaming at the house. Does that resonate at all, or is that close to the type of stuff that you were... process using to process
Tell me again, please.
Okay.
You broke up.
Okay, I'm sorry. You've seen the movie Forrest Gump?
Sadly, yes.
Okay. Well, I got a feeling the thumbs are going to be pointed down in terms of your review.
I hate that movie. I despise that movie.
All right. Well, I hear the book was even better. I haven't read it.
The book is why I hate the movie.
Oh, God. Well, let me hang up now rather than...
No, I love the book. I adore the book.
Yeah.
The only other, well, you know, books always lose when they get made into film, sure.
I know.
But the only other thing that comes close to being the botched butcher job that was done on Forrest Gump is what they did to Altered Carbon over at Netflix.
Oh, I know, because you were ranting.
Oh, I was not it was horrible. It was terrible.
Well, what makes it worse, and I haven't read any of the writing of the author or seen the series, but what makes it worse, especially if it's a book that you really, truly enjoyed, okay? You hear that a TV series is coming out to screen.
And you wait, and you wait, and you wait, and you wait.
And you count down the days, and you look at a couple of episodes, and it cannot suck enough.
Right. No, I mean, I was just sitting there in the case of Altered Carbon going, oh, no.
Yeah.
And in the case of Forrest Gump, I was like, wait, what? Because in both instances, what drives me crazy is when an author does a fantastic job of writing a book in such a way that it's already cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
It can trigger a movie happening in your mind without you having to do much work. From the dialogue to the descriptions, it's all there. So with Forrest Gump, I was watching the film going, Tom Hanks is not Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump was not some sort of good-natured boob. In the book, Forrest Gump is, you know, he tells you right off the bat, I am, what is it? I am an idiot. And he says, now, I'm not like one, and this is just the book, I'm not like one of them Mongolian idiots what plays with theyself all the time. I'm what you call an idiot savant. And so we learn about him going to the University of Alabama, and he can't pass English, but he plays football for Bear Bryant. And he can't pass English, but he makes A pluses in graduate level courses in advanced light in the physics department.
Yeah.
And there's some astronautics involved that also involve an orangutan. And there's a crash landing. And there's chess playing with a cannibal in New Guinea who was educated at Harvard.
And none of which the movie.
No, the movie was Bob Zemeckis made the movie all about a bunch of feel good horse shit.
Well, Forrest Gump.
I mean, you being the Watergate fan that you are, I'll go ahead and ruin it.
Yeah.
Not Watergate, but there's a passage in the book where Forrest goes and meets LBJ. And LBJ asks him where he got shot, and he drops trow in front of LBJ.
Yeah.
Well, then he comes back later, and he doesn't understand because he's an idiot. LBJ is gone. And when he was with LBJ, they had watched TV together, and they'd watched the Beverly Hillbillies. Well, when he comes back, Nixon's there. And so, trying to make friends with Nixon, he says, So I asked President Nixon what was on TV, and Nixon said, to tell the truth, but you don't want to watch that. It's a bunch of shit. beautiful, beautiful moments. Just gone and ruined.
Yeah.
What they did to Altered Carbon shouldn't happen to a dog.
Well, the whole point in the scene from Forrest Gump, the movie, that I was raising, it was the first snap impression I got when you were talking about visiting the old family homestead where bad stuff had happened. And there's a scene in Forrest Gump where Jenny is throwing rocks in the field at the house where she was hurt and violated.
Yeah.
And it just struck me as, you know.
I could never do that in this instance. One, they would arrest me. But two, you know, it's a very specific part of the house, and the rest of that house has some very warm and wonderful memories to it.
Yeah.
But
see, and that's the.
But it's the part of the it's the part of the house where the black walnuts were stored.
Yeah, Jesus. I know
that scene. Yeah.
Was it your grandmother that did the fudge?
Oh yes.
If you can find it, if she ever did peanut butter fudge.
Oh no, I've got my mother's peanut butter fudge recipe, and yeah. Well,
does it involve Cairo light corn syrup?
I believe some.
Okay.
Yeah, some Cairo syrup, but mainly it is sugar and canned milk.
Yeah.
Not Eagle Brand sweetened condensed milk, just plain, you know, canned milk.
Well, here's why I ask about this. And you remember my great-great Aunt Emma.
Absolutely.
The lady that lived just past where Emma lived was Mrs. Bowles, Elmer Bowles and his lovely wife, Elsie. And I also delivered their afternoon newspaper. And when I went around every month to get paid for delivering the paper, it was as if she had radar or something. She knew that I was on the way to get my 285 for, in this case, the Washington Post, or 30 cents a week for the old Washington Daily News. And upon my arrival, she would have just completed preparation of her peanut butter fudge. And I have tried for years to find that recipe because I'm telling you, you talk about...
Did she use smooth or chunky?
She used smooth.
Good. No chunky.
Yeah. Well, the thing when you were talking about the black walnuts, I have.
Why do you have to say the walnuts were black, Scott?
Well, because you said it first, Bob. I have an aversion to nuts in fudge.
Aversion or not allergy?
No, aversion. It's just it degrades the experience. Because you want fudge that will blossom and melt in your mouth, not.
Well, and as much as anything, it's a question of how. I was told that peanut butter fudge always involves an iron skillet, one, because you get even heat distribution.
Okay. And it doesn't. Never knew that.
And it doesn't stick. You use canned milk instead of regular milk because it's concentrated.
Yeah.
And what you have to do is you stir that sugar and canned milk together, and you have to stir constantly.
Yeah.
And once it begins to boil, it'll be lava-like, and it'll make great bubbles.
Yeah.
And when it's boiled for a little bit, you have a glass of ice cold water standing by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you take
this must be her recipe. This
and you take
exactly.
And you take that dollop of boiling lava, doesn't have any peanut butter in it yet, and you drop it in that ice cold water and you stick your finger in it and you swirl that mix down around in the bottom until it forms what is called and what you're testing is to see if it has reached the soft ball stage.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if it cools in that water and it forms a softball, you're there. You dump your peanut butter into it, pull it off the heat, and stir like there's no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pour it out into either a buttered pan or a buttered plate. The buttering is important. And
yeah.
And whichever one it is should be cold.
Yeah.
And then you let it sit for a minute, you score it, you know, into a grid pattern and set it up to cool.
Yeah.
And if it's done right, it is absolutely heavenly.
It sounds precisely like Mrs. Bowles's peanut butter fudge.
Now, what's surprising, if you don't want to go, because when my grandmother made her fudge, and she made it both with and without black walnuts are wonderful. They have a beautiful flavor. They're sweet, buttery. But her fudge was very, very involved. You can take that same basic principle.
Wait a minute. What you say involved, was it secretly seeing the brownies on the side?
Exactly. Wait a minute. Damn you. it was getting it on with the butter mints. But you can take that same process, and you can make chocolate fudge with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa, quit telling us how to interpret movies, bub. You can, instead of peanut butter, you can make that same fudge and with cocoa and the sugar, and it's pretty fan-damn-dabulous, too. One of the warmest, sweetest memories I have is of being away at college and getting a care package from my parents. And it would contain all of these confections. My mother and my father had their fun. They had a blast doing it together. They'd go into the kitchen and make peanut butter fudge and chocolate fudge and something called Aunt Bill's Brown Candy. And they package it up lovingly and carefully, and it would show up either at one of the various college campuses where I was, and I would have to hide it, because I'd have to dole it out to my buddies, you know. It was more precious than weed.
Mercy.
And it's like, yeah, you can have one square. You know, you can't have two. You have one. You're my friend. You get one. People who aren't my friend don't get one. God Almighty and Jesus Christ together don't get two. They share one.
You talk about, you know, you were talking about the aroma, the fragrance of black walnuts triggering or reminding, transporting you back to a terrifying, horrible time. Those sensory inspired reminders can also take you back to something interesting or enjoyable.
Absolutely.
And I'll give you a case, speaking of the peanut butter fudge. Late 60s, maybe 68 going into 69, dead of winter, my younger brother, the one who's the gun nut, and I, he went with me as I did my monthly collections that my Washington Post customers, you know, to get paid for delivering that fine newspaper. And got to Mrs. Bowles' house, and Mr. Bowles was there, some friends of theirs. Friday night, they're sitting there watching some crazy thing on TV. I think it was the Chuck Barris variety series, Operation Entertainment, on ABC, as I recall. Well, what I didn't tell you was I was tripping, okay? And I don't mean stumbling over my big feet. I mean I was tripping from having dropped a little bit of you-know-what.
Oh, dear.
Several hours before. So it isn't as if Mrs. Bowles and her friends weren't trippy enough in an unaltered condition. You add the magic ingredient of lysergic acid. And
honey, the paper boy's in the tree talking to the squirrel again.
No, but I mean, I am transported to their living room now, just thinking of it, with the doilies on the armrests of the chairs and the sofa. And, well, anyway, as soon as I got there, that was Mrs. Bowles' cue to haul ass into the kitchen to whip up a fresh batch of her famous peanut butter fudge, because, well, just sit down, get comfortable, chat among yourselves, watch TV, because it won't take but a minute, okay? So anyway, at least an hour had passed, maybe more, and I'm still sitting there in the living room watching this crazy program on TV.
Take a trip and never leave the farm.
With all these old people, and Mr. Bowles is smoking his El Producto or White Owl cigar, okay? And he had like four teeth in his head, okay? I mean, just all of the stuff flashing back. Well, then she brings the fudge. And LSD, as with pot, will trick your senses, will short-circuit your senses where you, like, hear colors or see smells. Well, one taste of that wonderful, fresh peanut butter fudge, and it was like getting kicked up to an orbit that I probably on some level have not come down from. And to this day, and it's been years since I've made my version of her fudge because I never could find the recipe. To this day, I have a friendly, happy little flashback. If I were to whip up a batch tonight and sit down and enjoy it, I would get a sensory memory.
The walls, the walls would probably breathe a little bit, and the sky might get a little paisley.
But, oh, man. And there are very few things from my childhood that I crave in terms of taste treats, and that peanut butter fudge is one of them. I will never say no to it. I don't care what condition my health is in. You know, diabetes be damned. I'm going to have me a square or two of that stuff if I can figure out how to fix it. But anyway,
and by the way, there's a toward the end of the boil, there's a little splash before you put the peanut butter in. Toward the end of the boil, there's a little splash of vanilla extract. Use the real stuff.
Bingo. That must be the recipe. If you can find it, email it to me. Let's see. There was something else, too. God damn. I've got to start making notes because you know how my mind goes.
Yeah, but it's no fun if you work from notes. It's, if you are a master of the high wire, there's no fun working over a net.
Yeah. Well, that's true. If you're truly a master.
And you know, you bring your conversational A game, so...
There was a high wire artiste who at one point had a dog in the act with him. Now, this is incredible. It's hard enough for a human being to walk on a tightrope, a high wire, but to have a four-legged canine creature do it is something really spectacular.
I don't think you could do that anymore.
Well, it worked fine until it didn't. He later became known as Splat, the Wonder Dog. So
we'll see. I'm going to get emails. You know, I'm going to get emails about this. You realize it's Splat. That, yeah.
I remember the other thing you were talking about, the Smuckers. What was it? Strawberry honey.
Fruit and honey strawberry jalapeno spread. Yes.
Okay. Your quest for this reminds me of my ongoing quest for Diet Right Cola in the 2-liter fucking bottle.
Trust me, and I win on this. This is so far beyond. Never mind.
Well, no, I don't know if I told you this, but after going round and round with Ralph's, which is owned by Kroger.
Well, yeah, when last we checked in, you were going round and round.
Yeah,
you had escalated and. I don't know if you'd gone to Diet Right itself or were picketing the bottling plant or what.
No, I've gone further than that. I went round and round with Kroger, even calling the Cincinnati corporate office. I went round and round with the corporate people down in Texas that make the Diet Right, all to no avail, because they would tell me, go here and you'll find it. Go there and you'll find it. Well, none of that was true. So a couple of weeks ago, I sent an email to our NBC7 San Diego.
So you said,
consumer.
Yes, that is where we left off.
Yeah. And about a week ago, I heard back from one of the people there, and they asked for a few more details. So I hope to hear something of a good outcome. Because if they stop making it, I don't know what the hell I'll do. Because
I'm quite certain they haven't.
Well, I am too. But why would a store?
But what's wrong? What's wrong with it in the little, you know, what used to be 16-ounce bottles?
Well, I've never been able to find it in any other form except 2-liter bottle
and cans.
Yeah, and I don't like the cans because they're just messy, you know. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow I'm going to take.
Well, see, I seldom buy cans here either because cans are too much of a commitment. Because the fizz won't stay, and I seldom drink 12 ounces of anything all at once.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that for my usage, the 2-liter bottle is fine.
And when I'm back here in the studio, quite frankly, I don't permit anything in cans back here.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a broadcast operation, and liquid anything is the enemy of everything in here.
Amen.
And so if it cannot be recapped, it doesn't come in.
Yeah, well, some engineers at stations will tell you that smoking around equipment.
Oh God, it's not what they'll tell you; it's a fact.
Yeah,
you can take the back off, and you know it looks like the inside of your corncob pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Smoke of any kind. Is horrible for electronic equipment.
Oh yeah, because the minute particulate stuff coats anything that it comes in contact with.
Right, and I mean as for things having to be capped around here, I mean that's why I've got that's what the swirly straw was for in the bottle of tequila. So that you didn't have to run the risk of pouring anything.
Yeah.
Just grab the fifth of rot gut tequila and with the swirly straw and all better.
Oh, and by the way, the mail carrier brought the copy of the Bob Woodward book today, so I got a nice twofer. I can sit here later and smoke the pipe, maybe fire up the martini maker. And have me a vodka martini with an olive the size of a bulldog's eye.
Heretic.
And leaf through the Woodward book.
If it isn't gin, it's not a martini.
Well, I keep hearing that, but I've tried them both, and, gin gives me a bad headache the next day, which is weird because clear liquors usually, for some people, they don't.
Yeah, it's probably the botanicals.
Yeah, it could be, but that's what I need to do. I've got to do some laundry tonight. Maybe after I do that, to reward myself, I'll sit here and puff and read and sip.
That sounds downright civilized.
Just while away the evening, and I don't know what we're going to do about this Kavanaugh guy. And Ken, just in the waning moments, what is your take on Dr. Ford not wanting to testify before there's an FBI full investigation? Because I understand her thinking, but on the other hand, it's like this is a case where we must strike while the iron is hot and take whatever opportunities we have, because I have a feeling that the Republicans, unless something spectacular is revealed between now and Monday, they're going full tilt boogie toward confirmation and seating of this.
That's the goal. But I understand her position, or at least I think I do. She does not, she has made her statement, and she does not want to walk into an ambush, and she's going to be ambushed anyway because dirty old scumbags like Orrin Hatch are still on that committee. Chuck mm-hmm. Grassley was there too.
Yeah.
And it's not like there's anybody even remotely sympathetic on the Republican side, and they're going to do what they're going to do. unless it can be made to haul one of those cup of coffee in law school terms out, clear and convincing. Okay, not even not simply preponderative, but clear and convincing, which is somewhere between preponderative and beyond a reasonable doubt.
So
I'm guessing that based on what they're the way they're talking, she thinks that an FBI examination really would matter, and she wants to sit down with the FBI and talk to them, so that then she will be able to say, I did so knowing full well the penalty for lying to the FBI. How about the guy who wants to be on the Supreme Court? Because otherwise, it's just what lawyers refer to as a swearing match.
Yeah.
Because every now and then, you'll hear lawyers talk about the trial process, and they'll use terms like swearing match. And anytime you reach, and of course this is not a trial, but anytime you reach that point where one side must be believed and the other side must be disbelieved, well, then having something like an FBI investigation at least puts a couple, it ticks off a box over on your side, because you are giving a statement with the attachment of potential jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels like the hand that she's holding is stronger than the hand that Kavanaugh is holding. Kavanaugh wanting to sit on the Supreme Court, if he, you know, and at this point in time, she has helped him paint himself into a corner. I saw a clip earlier today of, and this is sort of a, this is tangential, but I saw a clip earlier today of Trump and Giuliani and so forth. So, no collusion, no collusion. And then lo and behold, there's another clip of Giuliani saying, well, I can't find anywhere that collusion's illegal anyway. So, you know, that's falling back from one trench into another.
Yeah.
Well, Kavanaugh doesn't have any trenches. He's got, I didn't do it, it didn't happen. Hence the loopy-ass attempt to find Kavanaugh's evil twin.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But of course, the likelihood of the evil twin coming up and saying, yeah, that was me. So, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Well, yeah, I get her reasoning and the fact that she wants to go step by step so that there can be no doubt. There's always going to be doubt. There's always going to be questions. But she doesn't want to leave any step untaken.
Right, and she also does not want to sit down at the same table as her attempted rapist.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm getting at is the Grassley and the rest of these bozos, and I might mention on the Republican side, there's not a woman among them,
right,
let the record show. They have ramped up their ramming mechanism. It's like full speed ahead. Damn the torpedoes. I don't know. I'm really hoping that another shoe drops between now and Monday.
Well, I think she's got a bag full of shoes. And if the FBI will investigate, she will hand the bag to them.
Well, yeah, and see, she needs a safe harbor in which to deliver.
And an FBI investigation is that. See, the
Imelda Marcos collection of shoes, because yeah, I'm sure she's got shoes to drop.
And of course, you know, the other part of it is that the Republicans are, you know, that they're a sort of evil Jesus saying, let this cup pass from us, let this cup pass from us.
Tell you what, we'll send somebody out there to ask you the questions in private, okay? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Well, maybe all the Republicans won't ask you any questions, and we'll hire a good lawyer to do it.
Well, if that's what y'all want to do, but that doesn't mean that the Democrats are going to just roll over and play dead on that. This is some fascinating chess being played.
Well, and the thing is, I want her to be successful in being fully heard and her allegations being fully vetted. I mean, that would be a refreshing change of pace, simply because Kavanaugh has not been fully vetted. As a matter of fact, the people
he's been 7% vetted. Yes.
Yeah. So there's that, and there's also the fact that, see, they want to make it sound like an investigation by the FBI into this woman's veracity and claims is needless, pointless, because he's already had 6 FBI investigations. But did they focus and concentrate on the allegations of this woman? Well, no, they couldn't have, because she's only now brought that forward. So that's when you put a bookmark between the pages and say, everything is on hold while we pursue a full...
Right, and there is no time frame, like I said. Mention made to me, and then we got to go. I said that, and this is just one of those little fantasies that periodically enters my mind. If Kavanaugh makes it to the Supreme Court, I think it would be more than appropriate if Justice Ginsburg, Justice Sotomayor, and Justice Kagan, each of them, every time they ended an opinion, whether it be a concurrence or a dissent, ended with, P.S., I believe Dr. Ford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and the response to that was, well, you know, we've got to preserve some civility in government. And
since when?
Well, I think that's horseshit. Because it's all of this phony, hypocritical bullshit civility that's gotten us where we are.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get us out of where we are. And as Darlene in Connecticut says, Susan Collins has been revealed for the charlatan we know she is. But, you know, even after this, she'll say, the for-profit media will continue to refer to her as noted centrist Susan Collins.
Well, one last thing, because I know that we're a little over time. The Republicans have never not been pretty savvy when they are plotting out their game plan, okay? I'll give them that. Ruthless would be another... ruthlessly savvy, okay, in their approach to conducting things. I don't know. Do they not discern a definite risk in November and in future Novembers? The only thing I can figure is they know that the Democrats and others may well kick up a fuss if and when Kavanaugh is seated. And their thinking is, fuck him. It's like, remember Dick Cheney, his famous fuck him?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It seems to me that the calculation that they've done is, we know that this will bite us in the ass later, but if it means getting a reliable Heritage Foundation member, supporter on the court, then we'll take our lickings if they appear later. But this is our priority, is to pack the court. Is that pretty much where they're
Well, it is, and it's the one thing that they can hang their hat on, because the precious little evangelicals aren't getting all excited about their tax cuts, and some of them may even feel halfway icky about kidnapping children. But they can motivate them on the idea that they're going to save the precious little fetuses with Brett Kavanaugh. And if they lose that, they really do, you know, if they don't have turnout,
they got a big problem. And just in the last 24 hours, a poll has come out from, I think, Ipsos that shows Beto O'Rourke has gone up 2 points on Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America.
Yeah.
Kyrsten Sinema is not looking. She's up points on her opponent in Arizona. Phil Bredesen is up on several points on Marsha Gedneth Blackburn.
And Hell's Bells, it may even be
competitive in Mississippi.
Well, and the governor's race down in Florida, or was it the Senate?
Yeah,
race?
Gillum's up 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, I mean, well, to God's ear.
Well, but then again, I count no unhatched chickens.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. Well, Scott, thank you very kindly. You have a good evening. We'll talk soon.
Well, I will, Bob, and I hope you and I both are successful finding our products
Well,
locally.
The Smucker stuff is available at Walmart, too. Oh, okay. One last note. Ron and Raleigh said, if you've got a Dollar General or a Target nearby, they have Diet Right in 2-liter bottles.
Well, neither of my Targets have it. The Target Express or the big.
You may have a bottling problem. You might want to find the bottling plant for that.
Well,
and it may be, you know, and for all I know, it may be in Azusa or something.
One of the Horn family some weeks ago sent me a message on Facebook, I guess, or somewhere, indicating that in the summer. They deliberately don't bottle it, and they told me the name of the bottling place that handles it and has made this decision. But it doesn't make sense that they wouldn't bottle a cool, refreshing soft drink in the summer because that's when a lot of people enjoy it.
Well, but here now I don't know if this is true. It may be urban legend. I'll get a dozen emails about this too.
Okay.
But I had a lady who is really desperately type 1 diabetic tell me that she used to drink lots of Diet Pop until she got awfully sick on it, and that what she was told that in heat the artificial sweetener in diet soda degrades to formaldehyde.
Yeah, aspartame definitely does.
Well, ta-da. That's why you don't bottle it. But then again, that wouldn't explain why you can't get that, but you can get Diet Coke.
Well, and it doesn't, you know, that's the other thing. I stopped using aspartame after I had my tumor on my pituitary back in 89 because I would maintain until my dying day or until they carried me off rambling and foaming at the mouth. That had something to do with the pituitary tumor, okay? And that's why I like the Diet Right so much is simply because it doesn't have aspartame.
As
I know, it's the only one that doesn't use that sweetener.
Well, wait, what is it sweetened with then?
Sucralose, which somebody...
Well, then why not go with Coke Zero?
Yeah, but...
It tastes like...
That has caffeine.
Caffeine-free Coke Zero doesn't.
Does it have aspartame? Because
it's got sucralose.
Really?
Yeah, that's Coke Zero's big sell.
I didn't know that. I'm glad that we chatted about this and other things because fuck them at Diet Right. If they can't get their act together and make it the way I want.
No, you'll be into some heroic searches trying to find caffeine-free Coke Zero. But it is findable because it's sweetened with Splenda, which is sucralose.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, whoever sent that in.
That's me.
Well, thank you, Bob. Give yourself a cowbell because you do consumer stuff. Yeah, a little cowbell.
Very tiny.
Okay.
All right.
That's a happy moo. I will let you get on.
All right. You can report back on caffeine-free Coke Zero because it tastes just like old Coca-Cola. Promise.
I will ask for it by name, Bob.
Tell them, Bob. Tell them, Bob. Tell them down to the store that Bob sent you.
if you were to go into a store and ask for this, they would look at you like you're crazy. But I will do that.
But then you tell them Bob sent you, and all of a sudden their pink little ears will perk right up.
There you go. There you go.
We'll be back on the Opry next week. Yep.
All right. Take care. And mind your Google clusters, because they're very sensitive to impact or heat.
Here, here. Later. Our buddy Scott calling from San Diego. We ran a little bit over, but that was important stuff. So that's it. Friday on the front porch tomorrow, we'll see us sweating out a $745 fundraising goal to finish off September, have a fundraising-free week next week, and pay sufficient bills to keep this program on the air. Yes. So thank you to Charlene and Anatole this evening. Thank you so very much. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you to all of you who keep this program on the air. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you this evening to Sparky in the chat room. He ran off a little early because of Thursday night football. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Hey, Steve, glad to know that everything's going well. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.